My second year that I was here as the president of Bob Jones, we were saying or affirming the creed every day. And I noticed a young lady was sitting down right here in the gold section, and she was standing up. And every day I would look over, and I just noticed students. I do look at students, and I noticed she didn't say the creed. And, you know, that doesn't alarm me if one day you don't say the creed, because we do say it every day, and it's easy for your mind to come in, and you're thinking about other things, and I understand that. But I noticed the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day, she did not say the creed at all. Now, I didn't get irritated about it, but I did notice who she was. And so, I don't know, maybe a week or two later, I was eating in the dining common and I was standing in line to get a drink from the drink section there. And this young lady was there and she was filling her drink and she turned around and it was that young lady standing there. And I said, hi. And she said, hi. I said, hey, you sit down in the gold section, don't you? And it's like, yeah. And I said, can I ask you a personal question? She said, sure. I said, I notice you don't say the creed every day. And I know she felt a little awkward. I said, so why? What's up? I said, do you not believe it? She said, oh, no. I really do believe it. I said, so what's up? Why don't you say the creed every day? And essentially what she said was she felt a little hypocritical because she didn't want to make it like the vain repetition of the prayers of the hypocrites who just say things over and over and over with no thought and no heart. And so I talked to her about it, and I said, you know, I understand that, but I said also the point of a creed is the point of repetition. It's so important that, sure, there may be some times we're not as engaged, but we do get linked in, and it's an important thing for you to say. I've spent a lot of time here as the president at Bob Jones University of studying some of the core aspects of our university. And one of those is the fact that every day in chapel, we affirm the Bob Jones University Creed. Repetition is the key to learning, not just saying the creed over and over, but us emphasizing this. So a number of semesters ago, we did a whole semester in our doctrinal theme on the creed and the messages that come out of the creed. And what I'd like to do this morning, and it's a little bit of a repetition for some of you that are older, but many of you have not heard this, I'd like to talk to you about why it is that we say the creed every day, because it is something that we say on a regular basis, and it is a very important act that we do here. So let me begin by saying that from the level of importance, if you think about it, the BJU creed is actually the single most important thing that we have here at the school outside of people. So setting the importance of people aside, fundamentally, the most important thing that we have here at Bob Jones University is actually our creed. It's more important than our buildings. It's more important than our majors. It's more important than our sports, our arts, all the things that we have here. The creed is more important because the creed is foundational to who we are, and it is foundational to what we do. Fact is, long after Bob Jones University is gone, the truths of the creed will remain forever. So let's begin by asking a question, basic, and that is, what is a creed? And by definition, it is a formal summary statement of Christian beliefs. A creed is authoritative insofar as it accurately summarizes the teaching of the Bible, which is the primary purpose of the creed. It is a summary of the most important truths. And creeds, being a summary, therefore are relatively short in length. For example, there are a number of creeds. There is, you've probably heard, the Apostles' Creed, that's 113 words. There's the Nicene Creed, 218 words. And then there's, here at BJU, the BJU Creed, which is 97 words. Many churches, many denominations and institutions have said certain creeds for years. For example, when I was growing up, I attended as a boy a church that affirmed every Sunday morning the Apostles' Creed. And though I was not saved at the time, I'm very grateful that I learned the gospel through the creed and eventually believed it even before I believed it in essence of what it said even before I became a believer. So saying a creed is not historically something that is unusual. It's unusual for today, but it's not historically. So what is it that makes the BJU creed unique? Well, I think in order to understand the creed, it's helpful for us to go back in our beginning, which is now 93 years old, and understand our founder, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., and the history of the school and when the school was founded. Throughout history, many of the universities that were founded in the United States were started as Christian institutions, especially to train preachers. So they had strong theological roots, and you can just look at the United States, Harvard, Yale, Princeton. They all started as Christian institutions, and they started to train ministers for the gospel. But what happened? Somewhere over their history, they drifted into liberalism away from their sound theological roots, and inevitably, they began to deny the fundamental truths of the Christian faith. So when Bob Jones University was founded in 1927, it was during a very intense conflict in the United States between what we call theological liberalism and Bible-believing Christians who they called fundamentalists. And the reason they called them fundamentalists is because they believed in the fundamental truths of the Scripture. And this was going on throughout the whole United States in mainline denominations. German rationalism had influenced American seminaries, and a battle raged within these denominations. And the modernists fundamentally had moved away from the foundational truths of the Christian faith, and they had forsaken the supernatural aspects of our faith. So think about it. In our creed, consider the phrases that actually have supernatural elements to them, like the inspiration of the Bible, the creation of man by the direct act of God, the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, His incarnation, man and God, the regeneration through the Holy Spirit, that is the new birth, which is actually as great a miracle in the heart of a believer as it is in the creation of the world. So Bob Jones Sr. saw the effects of liberalism in his own Methodist denomination. And therefore, as he saw the negative effects of it, and I've seen it in my own life, how it has affected my family, because I grew up in a church that was a liberal church. And I saw it as it affected my father and my mother, who grew up in liberalism, and my grandparents. And so Dr. Bob Jones Sr., rightfully so, had no patience or toleration for doctrinal liberalism, and especially denominational hierarchy that were liberal. So in the founding of a Christian institution, he wanted a creed that would clearly state the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And those fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith were primarily centered around five fundamentals. Those included the verbal inspiration of the Bible, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, His vicarious sacrificial atonement, His victorious resurrection from the dead, and His visible return. Four out of those five fundamentals are in our creed. He believed that if we stayed true to a sound creed, then the school would stay true to the Christian faith and would not doctrinally compromise and then fall into error. Dr. Bob Sr. wanted to write the creed, but he struggled to put it all together. And so the creed was actually written by a good friend of his named Mr. Sam Small. Mr. Small was a journalist from the Atlanta Constitution. He was visiting Dr. Bob Sr. in his office before college was started. And Dr. Bob Sr. asked if he would help him write the creed. And so the story goes, of course, that on the back of an envelope with a pencil, he sat down and he wrote it out, and it was inserted into our college charter. And here is the charter of Bob Jones University. It says the general nature and object of the corporation, that's this school, shall be to conduct an institution of learning for the general education of youth in the essentials of culture and in the arts and sciences, giving special emphasis to the Christian religion and the ethics revealed in the Holy Scriptures, combating all atheistic, agnostic, pagan, and so-called scientific adulterations of the gospel, unqualifiedly affirming and teaching the inspiration of the Bible, both the Old and the New Testaments, the creation of man by the direct act of God, the incarnation and virgin birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, His identification as the Son of God, His vicarious atonement for the sins of mankind by the shedding of His blood on the cross, the resurrection of His body from the tomb, His power to save men from sin, the new birth through the regeneration by the Holy Spirit, and the gift of eternal life by the grace of God. And then it concludes, this charter shall never be amended, altered, or changed as to the provisions herein before set forth. So that was 93 years ago. And here we are 93 years later, and we still are affirming the same creed. And the reason is because we believe the same creed. So the charter reveals, in the charter, it reveals the uniqueness of the university centered around the creed. So really, when we say it every day, we're affirming the very charter of the institution. And the creed tells us our identity as believers and what is the core of our beliefs. So as far as I know, and this is as far as I know, Bob Jones University is the only Christian university today that daily affirms a creed. So here's the question, and that is, why do we say it every day? Couldn't we say it on Monday and Friday, or Monday and Thursday, or Wednesday and Friday, or just on Monday? We could do all those things. And I don't think fundamentally if we did that, it would be wrong for us to do that. But in essence, it would cause us to shift away from some foundational truths. So why do we say it every day? Let me give you a few reasons. Number one, for the sake of permanence. We are living in a day when everything is changing. However, truth is changeless. And the truth that is in the creed is changeless. When I came here to be a student 42 years ago, the truth of it is still being announced every day, and it hasn't changed. The things we say in the creed are as real and as important and as powerful and as life-changing today as it was for 42 years ago. And so, things change. I mean, if you were to go back 42 years ago to Bob Jones University, would it look a little bit different than it does today? Yes or no? Well, you've probably seen the pictures. The answer is yes. The buildings are different. The dorm rooms are the same, but the buildings are different. Some things haven't changed. Many things have changed. But the creed and the truth of it is permanent. Everything in the creed was written for succeeding generations. Nothing was put into it that has to be adjusted in the future because it's outdated. All Bible-believing, born-again people will always be able to agree with the creed. These truths are essential to the faith, and they are core and necessary for salvation. When schools changed in the past, somebody made a decision to make a change. Something was given up. Somebody was appeased. Something was adjusted. There is nothing in the creed that needs to change. We can be flexible on many things, but there are some things on which we must be inflexible. Therefore, saying the creed daily recognizes the permanence of the truth that is in the creed. If we continue to believe the truths in the creed, then this school will never drift into theological compromise, and that's the issue. For example, we require every professor to confess this creed. And our science department with 23 plus PhDs with degrees from all over the world, they have to confess that they believe that God created the world. I believe in the inspiration of the Bible, the creation of man by the direct act of God. We've even taken it a little bit further. You have to believe that God has created the world in 6 literal days. If you don't believe that, then your employment is terminated immediately. This is a permanent creed. It is not to change. Fact is, if it ever changed, then the school by law could be legally closed. Did you know that? Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said in a chapel sermon dated 70 years ago, 1950. I wasn't even born until 1955. It says the charter was so written that any student in this school could come into this community under the law and close this school by law if you ever permitted this creed to be repudiated at the school. So if in 30 years from now, you're in your early to middle 50s or late 40s, and suddenly you hear Bob Jones University has changed the creed and they don't believe it, you know what should happen? Every one of you should come to this school and protest and say, close her down. Shut her up. Because they have moved away from the most important truths. That's why we say the creed every day. It's not so you won't forget it. It's not so we hope you'll believe it. But because the creed is fundamental to the core of who we are, change this and everything has changed. The second reason why we say the creed is for the sake of unity. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was an evangelist. He held great evangelistic campaigns. He worked with varying denominations. He cooperated with them to advance the gospel. So that would have been Methodist and Baptist and Presbyterians. He wanted a creed that would unite and not divide Christians. He wanted something that we all could agree upon. He maintained in his approach, in his evangelistic work, what we call a non-sectarian approach. In other words, he didn't work just with Baptists. And this carried on through the college. And he was very careful not to overemphasize any scriptural interpretation that would be divisive. He hoped to unify Orthodox believers. The heart of every Christian who knows Jesus and has the Holy Spirit living inside of him wants to be in unity with other people who are truly born again. Therefore, the school was founded as a non-denominational, in its day, an interdenominational institution that could be supported by all Bible-believing denominations who subscribe to the fundamental truths of the Scripture as stated in the college creed. Different denominations were represented in the faculty, and declared that the denominational integrity of every student would remain unchanged. So if you came here as a Baptist, he wanted you to leave as a Baptist. You came as a Presbyterian, he wanted you to leave as a Presbyterian. He would not ask students coming to Bob Jones University to change where they came from. Fact is, when services were held on the campus for many years, students went to their own Sunday school class of their denomination. So when I was a student here, if you were a Baptist, you had to go to Baptist Boys Sunday School. If you were a Methodist, you had to go to Methodist Girls. He believed in the possibility of denominational cooperation, now listen very carefully, without organic church union. In other words, we can have church cooperation, but not necessarily church union. In other words, Baptist stay Baptist, Methodist stay Methodist. There was nothing wrong with differing groups who had differing convictions about things. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. saw this as a way to keep things right. For example, if Baptists believe the church is going liberal, what do? They go start another church. That's been going on for 2,000 years. Where you been? And so the point of the matter is, he spoke about unity, but he was not speaking about all the churches becoming one. That's not what he was saying. He didn't believe in bringing churches together in one church. He believed the unity of the church was not found in one church, but in all the churches loving and believing the truth. You understand what I'm saying? And so each group had its own set of convictions. For example, some churches believed you ought to baptize by immersion, and other churches sprinkle. You say, well, I have a problem with that. Okay, then go to a church where you don't have a problem. Some were premillennialist, others were amillennialist. Some followed the Westminster Confession of Faith, others followed the New Hampshire Baptist Confession of Faith. Some are Calvinists, some are Arminians, some are cessationists, some are non-cessationists. Some believe in one pastor, some believe in a multiplicity of elders. Some use the King James Version only, and others use a more modern translation. And I could go on and on. Dr. Bob Sr. said, I think all Protestant denominations are called into existence to underscore something that should be underscored, but all of them are built upon the same essential foundations of the Christian faith. And I made up my mind that a school could be built that would appeal to all evangelical Christian groups if you would stick to the fundamentals. I don't want to divide God's people. I want to unite them on the essential fundamentals of the faith. He believed that Christians were not a divided army. Stick to the fundamentals. Don't try to underscore something that some special group underscored. He said that most of the people that divide God's people are people that underscore something that has a place, but it should not come to the level of the most important truths necessary for salvation. So when the school was founded, he was determined to have a creed upon which all true Christians can agree, a creed that will allow us to work with people who are different. And he said we should go as far as we can with people on the right road and go with them. However, this must be clear, that the founder did not believe that we should cooperate with anyone in religious matters who deny our creed. We do not give Christian recognition to those who deny the fundamentals of the Christian faith. This is what it takes to be a Christian, and if you don't believe that, you can't be a Christian, period. Furthermore, we don't cooperate with any Christians who give Christian recognition to those who deny the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith. We do not cooperate with liberalism, and we don't cooperate with those who are working with liberals. Why? Because we don't want to confuse people over the gospel. We want the gospel to be clear. And people understand what it means to be saved. That was the case of my growing up. That was the case of my whole family. And that is, they grew up in a church that was liberal. And though they said they believed the truths, it was very, very shallow. And then they began to disbelieve the most important things like the inspiration of the Bible and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and the necessity of the new birth. And so I was the first Christian in my family that I knew of. And yet I grew up going to church. Because the effects of liberalism send people to hell. That's why we don't want to be involved with it. So finally, though we firmly believe our creed, it is not the only thing we believe. Bob Jones University has a lot of distinctives. I'm not going to go into great detail over those. For example, we are independent from other religious denominations. So we're not a part of a convention or a fellowship or any ruling church body. We have historically been known and identified as fundamentalist, and that means that we are a part of the body of Bible-believing Christians who have a strong commitment to truth, and we take a no-toleration position towards liberalism. Within American and church culture, Bob Jones has always been educationally and socially conservative. So we realize that there are schools out there that are Bible-believing schools. They believe just like we believe in the inspiration of the Bible. But we have some very clear distinctives, and especially in the matter of educational and social conservatism. And that's basically why a lot of people come here to school. We have shared convictions. We come here. We learn and grow. Nobody should expect Bob Jones University to change its convictions to simply attract other students. It's not about being big, though we have to pay our bills just like everybody else. It's about being consistent, or trying to be as consistent we can with what we believe and what we're trying to practice. So our uniqueness is found in our distinctives. And furthermore, our relationships and cooperation with other believers has various levels and is based upon these distinctives. However, we should do everything we can to have a spirit of charity towards all believers and to cooperate where we can with other believers for the sake of the gospel and the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'd like to conclude this morning with actually a statement that I heard when I was a student here at Bob Jones University by Dr. Bob Jones III, and I've always appreciated it. And it's found in a famous saying that Philip Schaff, the distinguished 19th century church historian, called the watchword of Christian peacemakers. And it says this: in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, charity. It strikes a wonderful balance. Unity on the essential things, the core truths that are the basis of our union with Christ. In non-essentials, not because they're unimportant, but those are things that do not rise to the level of bringing union with Christ. We call for liberty so that all might follow their conscience under the direction of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And then finally, in all things, however, there must be love, which according to the Apostle Paul is what binds everything together in perfect harmony, Colossians 3 and verse 14. So, when we come to affirm the creed every day, this is why we do this. And may the Lord grant His grace and mercy to Bob Jones University that we will be faithful to the truths of the gospel.